chariot cast in the sea. I will praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord my God, the God of my Father I extol. Yes, sing to the Lord, he has covered himself in glory, glory to God on high. The Lord is mighty indeed, the Lord is a mighty warrior. Has cast down the horse and chariot in the waters of the Red Sea. Let us sing to the Lord, he has covered himself in glory. Glory to God on high. Let us sing to the Lord.
God is teaching us how to make war.
To make
war.
W-A-R.
Yes, how to war and win.
Okay.
You know, how to battle and win. You know, a lot of us are having battles.
Yes.
And many people are fighting the devil. Many people are praying day and night, fighting against, you know, family members, against people they feel do not wish them well. You know, but God is going to teach us tonight his own way of fighting a battle. If we truly want to find victory, we have to go through the God's way of battle. And God's way is not carnal. You see, God's way is not carnal. You see, his ways are not our ways. His ways are always higher than our ways. And in this message, we're going to look at Gideon's army. Yes, yes. Gideon's army is very, yes, it's well known, you know, among the brethren. This is, but let us understand that these testimonies, things like the stories of Gideon, have the message of Christ hidden in them. See it, but the ordinary man cannot understand this thing. See, the ordinary man will read this Bible. You see it, and he will not be able to discern what God has deposited within the pages of this Bible. The Old Testament is deeper than people think. The Old Testament, everything you see in the Old Testament is simply a pointer to Christ, who is in the image of the living God. It's a pointer to the coming or to the unveiling of Christ. Unveiling of the image of God, of the essence of God in this world. This is a mystery that is hidden in every man, that is the only thing that, you know, we ever need for our victory. See, the victory that we seek cannot be gotten by fighting people, tagging men enemies, creating enmity, seeking revenge, you know, and all that kind of stuff, no. We get our victory when you revert back to the mystery of Christ within you. Because when you get to that place, you are elevated into a realm of immortal light where no man or no thing that defies can ever enter to touch you. It's an unapproachable place. No man, nothing can ever take away your victory. When you get to that place, at that day you will discover that most of your problems, about 100% of your problems, actually is generated from your own self. Let us understand that where God is, nothing can touch God's peace. Where God stays, nothing can, you know, affect him. And that is the place that we to stay. Because the word says that where I am is where you will be. I am, which is the essence of God, the essence of Christ, is actually in the presence of God eternally. In the presence of the Father. You remember in the book of Revelation, the Bible says a lamb. There was a lamb, you know, by the throne of God. You see, it's not, the lamb is actually the image of God. That is Christ. And it's constantly by the throne of God. You see, it's not somewhere in heaven. It is something, a reality that we all can attend to. It's the Christ in you, the hope. When you attend to that knowledge, you are constantly before the throne of the Father. Constantly. And nothing can touch you. You see it? None of the things that you see, this, you know, wasting humanity can get to you. So everything in the Old Testament, all the stories, the testimonies, the mysterious, you know, accounts of Genesis, everything you can think of is only there to reveal the mystery of Christ. You see, I was talking to Lester the other day about a film I watched. They call it Kung Fu Panda. It's a new film, you know. And in this film, there was a scroll, a particular secret scroll, you know, that the Savior of the world was to have before he could save this world. And you see, it was only the appointed man who could read this scroll and get any meaning out of it. The ordinary man could not. Other people who saw the scroll, you know, they couldn't, it did not benefit them. They would look at the scroll and nothing in it, but the appointed man, you know, destined to save the world, actually looked at the scroll and he saw the scroll actually quickened him and he became a superhuman being. In likewise manner, this same Bible, many millions and millions of people will read it, you see, but they will never be able to see the secret. There's a secret inside here. But thank God today we see the secret. You see it? And when we see the secret, it means that we are going to be the saviors of this world.
Amen.
It means that we are going to rule, that we are going to rule over everything.
Amen.
So Gideon's army is a message actually that reveals the mystery of godliness. It reveals how we can wage war against the forces of darkness and be victorious. God's ways are not our ways, and we are going to be shocked at how God will accomplish his task. See, in those days, Israel, as usual, had disobeyed God. They had walked contrary to the ways of God. And, you know, they were oppressed on either side by the enemies of God, of Israel. Their enemies, you know, were oppressing them for a period of, you know, time, for many years. Things were not going well for the Israelites. You see, they had a covenant with God that as long as they kept the covenant and walked faithfully with God, everything was to work out for them. They were supposed to prosper. You see, have you read the blessings of Israel? They were supposed to be prosperous in everything. Even the sicknesses and the diseases that the nations had were not supposed to touch the Israelites. You see, but they could never fulfill this. They could never really benefit to the fullness of God's blessings because they were carnal in nature. There's no way a carnal man can actually fulfill God's laws. So Israel here were going through three times of hardship, and the kings of the east at the time had gathered themselves to fight against Israel. And they were, the Bible says they were in their multitudes. There were so many that the Bible describes that they were like the sand of the seashore. Have you been to the seashore before? To see, can you count sand?
No.
That is how the enemies of God gathered. You know, in those days when they used to fight, the number of people meant a lot. They could have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people on the battleground fighting, you know, and they slaughter themselves. So the Midianites and the kings of the east gathered themselves, and the Bible says that they were like the sands, the sand of the seashore in number, uncountable. Uncountable. And you know, Israel, we are just like they were, their hearts were melting with fear, and none of them could stand these people. So these people were ready to invade Israel. But God chose a man called Gideon. Yes. Who was going to be the savior of the Israelites. And of course, when the time had come, Gideon blew the horn and God called all the men, able men out of all Israel, to gather unto him to wage war. You see it? But something happens. The men that gathered were a couple of thousands. You see it? And the Lord said, if you go to verse 2, Judges chapter 7, I'll just start from verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him arose early and encamped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim victory of claim glory for itself, saying, my hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Can you imagine? It was 32,000 men that gathered. Yes, the first separation came when Gideon said, who is afraid? If you are afraid, go back. The Bible says that how many? 22 of the 32,000 returned back home. Remaining 10,000. Of course, it's only normal that when you see armies like sand, it's only a normal natural human being. It's only normal for him to just go back. You know, and praise the Lord, the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So that was the first separation. And brethren, let us understand that today, this is one of the major things that will make most people miss it. Fear. Understand that when you are entering into this kind of battle, when you are entering into this walk, it's a walk by faith. You see, you have to trust the living God. Number one. Number two, you don't expect to find it rosy with people who do not understand what you are saying. People who do not see the same vision that you see. People do not comprehend the glory that you see. People who cannot see the mark of the whole high calling in Christ, never expect them to understand what you are saying. In fact, in the book of Revelation, the first category of people, you see, that were cast out of Jerusalem, that were outside. The Bible says the fearful and the unbelieving, they come together. The fearful and the unbelieving is the first category. You see it? It's not about drinking beer or, you know, fornication. The first category of people is what? Is fearful people. If you are afraid of what men will do to you, if you are afraid of the criticism you will have from men who don't understand your vision, if you are afraid of how God will sustain you, you know, you don't trust that God will sustain you with all these riches in glory as you walk this battle of faith, then you are not ready to move into this battle. See, you have to have a heart of belief, a firm heart. Otherwise, you can't go into this battle. And most of the people here are disqualified just because of this, you know, fear of how will I survive. You know, we have to learn to let go and trust in the Lord to provide our needs. If you have lived in a way that, you know, use some kind of means of surviving and, you know, out of the arm of the flesh, And now you begin to fear, how will I survive? If I follow God, you have to trust the Lord. God is not unrighteous toward to forsake those who have seeked Him, or you know, who have called upon His name. So let us be bold. You have to be bold, bold. Amen. So remaining 10,000, that's, and you are going now to Judges chapter 7, verse 4. But the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whoever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. Amen. Now, what is the meaning of that? God made another separation. 10,000 again was too much, because if there were so many, they would say that because there were many, it was out of their own strength that they won the battle. So God says, they are still too many. I'm going to give them one more test. Let them go to the riverside. You see, to drink water, and observe them. The one that, you know, kneels down on the ground, because we are all thirsty, and puts his head and begins to drink the water directly from the river, put that one aside. Then the other one that will take the water out like this and lap like a dog, put them aside. You see it? And the ones that lap like dogs were 300. Those were the ones that were chosen. What is God trying to say here? See, God is now talking about what they call spiritual watchfulness. Spiritual watchfulness. Those ones who went down on their knees to just drink water out of the river, yes, they lost their guard. These are the ones that had their face and everything concentrated on the water, so that they were not conscious of their environment. But the ones who lapped their dogs, like dogs, are the ones who are in a position of what? Alert. Watchful position. You know? As they are lapping, their eyes are open, and they are watching, you know, around them. Yes, this is spiritual watchfulness. It talks about a life of spiritual watch, a life of prayers. See, a life of, you know, self-control. You see, the Bible says that those that have this hope in themselves purify themselves. Paul says that you have to watch, you know. Jesus Christ said, what? Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. See, you have to be spiritual watchmen. Develop the attitude of, you know, allow your spiritual faculties to be fixed on the Spirit of God, to be fixed on the truth. See it? Let us not be carried away with this world. The world is asleep, you know. The world is asleep because their mind is focused on this material, temporary plane. They do not know where they are coming from, where they are going. But you have to be, your eyes have to be fixed on God's kingdom. Your eyes have to be fixed on the things that are eternal. Your eyes have to be fixed on, you know, heaven, from where our, you know, consolation is coming from. You see, where our inheritance is. See, if you go around and sleep and begin to do the things that men do, you see, the Bible says that those who are asleep are like the men of the night. You see, and these are where you see drunkards, you know, wine babblers and all that kind of stuff. They are of the night. But if you are watchful, you are of the day. And as you watch, the day will surely come upon you. Understand one thing, that the disciples could not make it, you know, with Jesus to the cross simply because they were not praying and watchful. See, Jesus was watchful. That's why he was strengthened. Remember, the Bible said why he was praying. You know, the disciples slept. And what happened? An angel appeared to strengthen Jesus. When you are watchful, you will get ministration. When you are watchful, you will hear the voice of the Lord. You will get word of faith to strengthen you. You strengthen your inner man and cause you to enter into that place of glory that we are talking about. So what happens? The remaining 9,700 people were sent home, left with just 300 men to face an uncountable number of, you know, of soldiers from the enemy side. And they were all gathered there with their camels waiting to run over Israel. And God was saying 300 men. You see it? Oh, hallelujah. These 300 men must have been men of valor, because already the number will cause the ordinary man to what? To say, look, I think you made a mistake.
Yes.
I think you must be making a mistake. Maybe maybe you didn't hear what God were. Maybe God was talking of the other people. But, you know, this people must have been men of valor for them to have agreed to carry this burden on their head. You see it? Brethren, with God all things are possible. You must have faith. Believe that you can overcome. Amen.
Amen.
And what are the enemies of God today? The enemies of darkness. See, your enemy today is not the person out there who took your land. Your enemy out there is not somebody who spoke against you yesterday. You know? Your enemy is not your brother or your father or somebody who did something to you some years ago. You see, the enemy that is the enemy of God and is the enemy really is death. See, all these years we've been fighting shadows. You see, if you destroy death, then all those things that you are battling for, all the people you are fighting, you will not see them to fight anymore. Death is actually the thing that has veiled the mind of man. See, like I said, that every man died in what? In Adam. Amen?
Amen.
Every man died in Adam. Every man. I'm talking from the big president of America. Talking of the great kings, everybody, to the poorest. There's no exception. They are all like what? Dead men. In the sight of God, they have no eternal value. No life in them. They're just, you know, being tossed to and fro by every wind. They do not know where they're coming from, where they're going to. And I tell you, the Bible says that the last enemy of God is what? To be defeated is what? Is death. That is the chief. Death is the enemy of God. Yes. Yes. Is the arch enemy. That is the enemy. That is the, because there's nothing. That is darkness. Death is what? Is darkness. What has the living God to do with the dead? When you see people, you see a graveyard, do you put a graveyard where people are living?
No.
They separate it and put it on another side.
Yes.
Because they are nothing to do with the living. The dead have got nothing to do with the living. God has got nothing to do with death. There are two different things that they cannot meet. If God enters a thing, it is light. There's no more death, nothing. See it? Darkness is simply an absence of its absence of what? Light. So if God enters it, if God is in a situation, there's no death. So if you see men that are dead spiritually, simply because God is not in that system. Amen?
Amen.
So the enemies of God actually, and their fruits, you can see sicknesses, diseases, fear, torment, sense of lack, poverty. You know, can you name the problems of humanity? Can you name the problems of man? Can you count them? They are uncountable. They are the enemies. These are the horses. These are the horses, the camels that were gathered, uncountable, but you know, against Israel. See, but God is using a company to defeat these forces today. Amen. People who are going to overcome death. Amen. Somebody say this is impossible. You see, that is the natural man. If
you say this is impossible, that you belong to those people who will go back home. Amen. Hallelujah. But the people are going to say what? It's possible. Hallelujah. God is looking for the people who will say, it is possible. We can overcome that. We can possess the promised land. We can live in total victory. We can live the life of the supernatural. We can come into the place of abundance. Hallelujah. Because God is, you know, with God all things are possible. God wants to demonstrate this thing to the world. Amen. God wants to demonstrate a new life, endless life to the world, for the world to see. Hallelujah. So that the people, like, you know when John the apostle confessed that we saw the glory of God. We saw the word of God. We touch him. The word of God is in the bosom of God. God wants the people to see us and touch us and feel us and say yes, that they've seen the life of God. They've seen the life of God manifested in the flesh. They have touched it. They have beheld it. Oh, hallelujah. This thing is not too high. It's possible. These things are just for us to believe. Believe God, and it will come to pass. Now, we're going to see how God is going to use these 300 people, or how God used them to, you know, accomplish this task. This task that look what? Impossible. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody will say, but who are you? A small boy like you? People have passed this world and, you know, philosophers, great men, and you want to talk about death? Who are you? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I am that I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I've received this word of truth from the Father, from God, and I should walk in glory, in the fullness of his glory. And I receive it and I walk in it. Amen. So let us see what God did. God, you know, in Judges chapter 7, verse 9. And it happened on the same night. I'll go down to Genesis chapter. Okay. Where are we? Because it's so long, I want to shorten it. I just want us to say, God told each of the 300 men to have what they call a trumpet on the left hand. Each of them should hold a trumpet on the left hand. And they should hold what? A pitcher, a jar. A pitcher, yes. A clay jar. It's a clay. Yeah. Yeah, you can pour a container. They should hold it like, yes. All of them, and a trumpet on the one hand, and a clay jar on the other hand. You see it? And of course, inside the clay jar, they were instructed to put what? A burning flint. It's a kind of candle. Burning lamps with light inside. It was burning with light inside the with everything, just light. It's a splinter that continues burning. So inside it was this light burning. And God said they should have a trumpet in their hands. And at midnight, when Gideon gives the command, or gives them the sign, they should do what? They should break the vessel. The containers, the pitchers. They should what? Break the pitchers and blow the trumpets at midnight. Hallelujah. And when they did, when midnight came, Gideon gave them the sign. They broke the pitchers so that the light that was inside, hidden in the pitcher, came out. They brought out the light. Some accounts say candle lamps. They brought them out of the pitcher. They broke the pitcher and held the lamps in their hands and blew the trumpet on the other hands. When they did that, there was confusion in the camp of the enemies. And the ones that were like sand of the seashore, they started fighting against each other. There was confusion in their camp, and they killed each other in the darkness, and you know, and the rest were fleeing. Just
because of what they did. You see it? And that was how they won their battles. That particular battle, they beat them to the last. To the extent that they even got their kings and killed them. It was a total victory. 100% victory, not just partial victory. They were totally uprooted. Amen. Hallelujah. And God was telling us, giving us a mystery. I can assure you, if you go out with this method, with that method to Iraq today to fight, you will not live to tell your story. Hallelujah. Amen. God was actually telling us a mystery here. Amen. God was giving us a mystery and telling us how we can win our battle. Amen. How we can be victorious. How we can, you know, defeat that. Hallelujah. If there is sorrow in your life, there is death there. If there is bitterness in your life, there is death there. Amen. If there is a sense of lack and poverty in you, there is death there. If there is emotional pain and hurt in you, there is death there. If there are sicknesses, diseases, and all these things pestering your life, there is death there. If there is torment in your life, fear for tomorrow, there is death in that midst of that place. Amen. But God is saying today that there is a way out. That we have to follow the way of the 300 men of Gideon. 300 is the number, 3 is the number of resurrection. Amen. These are people who stand in the resurrection. These are people who are working. Hallelujah. And all they needed to do was to break the pitchers and to blow the trumpet. Hallelujah. Today the pitchers is our body. Amen. And that light on the inside of the pitcher is the Christ nature in you. It's the essence of Christ on the inside of every man. It's the mystery of godliness that has been hidden from man, from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. All we ever need to do is to recognize the Christ within. Hallelujah. Oh, and die to our external man. Die to the old man of the flesh and let the man of the spirit comfort. Hallelujah. Amen. Let the new man that is created according to the image of God in true righteousness and in holiness comfort the spiritual man. Hallelujah. Amen. And let us blow the trumpet. The trumpet talks about our confession of the faith, our confession of truth. Amen. The Bible says that they overcame the dragon by the words of their what? Testimony. Amen. Amen. And they fear not to lose their life unto death by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they fear not to lose their life. Your confession. Amen. You have to blow the trumpet. There is only one trumpet that is blown. Amen. The Bible refers to it as the last trumpet. Amen. Which is actually the message of truth that goes forth to gather the nations back into God. That is the, you know, the message of truth that actually commands men to awake unto righteousness, commands men to awake into the knowledge of the Son. Remember, we discussed the other day, it's only when you are awake that you can find your satisfaction. You see it? So God is saying today, brethren, recognize who you are. Recognize who is underneath the vessel. Recognize the glory of God in you. Recognize the one that is inside of you, who is greater than the one on the outside. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. 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 You see it? Do you know what has provoked death in this world? Do you know what has provoked the suffering in this world? Paul describes it in what? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 7. He says, but if our gospel is hid, that's the truth that is preaching, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine. See, is the mind has been what darkened. The God of this world has what blinded our mind, so that we do not know of the light of the gospel. We do not know of this mystery of Christ. We have been walking up and down as corruptible, you know, mortal creatures creeping on the earth, thinking that you are actually, you know, earthly creatures, not knowing that you are not of this earth. You are not of this world. You are creatures from heaven.
in the image of God. You see, we've been creeping on the earth, you know, like animals and all, you know. Some trying to fight and everybody fighting to. Have you watched the way animals in the wildlife, you know, fight to make ends meet and all that? That's how we are. That's how that is man. You see it? But the time comes when you sit back and you know that everything that is there is yours. The time comes when you sit back on your throne and you rule over everything. That is what we are called to do. We are called to rule and reign with God. Amen?
Amen.
So the God of this world has blinded the minds of our understanding so that we do not understand this mystery. Amen?
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined now into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels. This treasure is where? Inside this vessel. Inside us. This treasure is on the inside of us. But we have been blinded in our minds by the devil, by the God of this world, so that we did not know that this thing was inside of us. But now the gospel has come to open our eyes so that we can know what God has deposited in us, who we are. It's only when you discover that man on the inside of you that you will defeat death. It's then that you will defeat all your problems will be a thing of the past. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said, well, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. Everything that you seek for is there. You just have to wake up. Don't listen to the fables of religion that is talking of something somewhere in the sky or something that will come tomorrow. You have to dig in now and, you know, receive this message by faith and walk in it. Hold this trumpet in your hands, amen, hallelujah, and begin to carry, bear the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in your body. Paul talks about it later in the verses of Corinthians, that he's always carrying the death of Jesus in his body, so that the life, now understand what, the death of Jesus, we're talking about the death of the natural carnal man, so that the life of Christ will come forth. We have to die to live. We have to let go of the, you know, the false life that we have born in our humanity and begin to walk in the path of divinity. We begin to walk in a realm recognizing who we truly are. We begin to walk as the congregation of God upon the earth, as the seed of the living God, as the sons of God, without beginning and without end. Hallelujah. This is what the gospel is all about. It's gospel has come to wake you up. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody said, but how can we attain to this place? We just read it. That the people are what? We are watchful. They didn't follow the rest of the other people to drink water. These people are watchful, spiritually watchful. We have to come to the place where we are alert in the spirit. We have to awaken in our consciousness, so that Christ will shine upon us. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us awaken in our consciousness and die daily so that the life of God will come forth from inside of us. Let us have the words of this faith, this confession in our mouth, confessing the incorruptible, endless life of God that is on the inside of us. Confess it and walk in it. Amen. A child that is born does not walk in one day. But what happens? He now begins to walk in it, you know, gradually, and before you know it, some of them end up becoming, you know, 100 meters record breakers. See, that man that broke a 100 meters, Zip Powell, the Jamaican man. There's a Jamaican man who broke a world record some months ago, 100 meters. That man that broke that record, there was a time he could not walk. Yes, of course, he was born. Every child, yes. There's a time he could not walk, but gradually he took one step after the other. Now he's running and winning gold medals and breaking records. In likewise manner, when you have this revelation, what you need to do is to gradually begin to walk in it by faith. Confess it by faith. Don't wait for something to begin to happen somewhere. You just let this word be in your mouth. Confess it. Confess it and walk in it. Then it will become life in you. Then the light, the day will dawn upon you. That's why when you look at like I discussed with you the other day, no man can ever recognize the day dawning. If you're out there in the night and you watch, you want to wait to see how the day is dawning, you will never see it. All you just see, you will see yourself in the day.
And you see yourself in the night.
And in the night. But it's not how it happens. Hallelujah. Amen. So you just have to walk in it by faith. As you walk in it, you will see the light. Amen. So that is the way God is causing us to have victory. Amen. Paul says that, you know, if you then be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let your affections be set on spiritual things, on the glory of God. You know, be like God. Walk like God. Don't be of the earth. Don't be like people. You know, walk like God and be like Him. Set your affection on things of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. Because when Christ appears, we appear with Him. You see it? Oh, hallelujah. He says, you put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of the mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. He's saying that, forget, you should not lie. When you lie, you are walking according to the flesh. You are walking in a false identity. You are walking in false knowledge of the outer man of the flesh. That is false. Now you are having the revelation of the truth, who you are. That you are the Son of God. Walk as the Son of God. That's what he's saying. Don't lie anymore. Don't be like people that are lying out there. Walk in the truth. Walk in dignity. Walk as a seed, offspring of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. That's what he's saying. You see it? And it's not saying that man, walk after that man who's actually created what? In the image of him that created. That means the man is created in the image of God. You're not just a beast. You're not creeping things. We are sons of what? Sons of God. Of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. And the Father desires all his children come to this knowledge of this precious truth. Hallelujah. This is the knowledge that actually causes us to enter into our rest. You see, not just head knowledge, we actually begin to experience the, you know, supernatural life, a new life. Yeah, this is a letter of Peter says, Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Amen. Now let us pause here. He's saying that grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Not just head knowledge. See, the grace and the peace that we seek is multiplied to us as we grow in the knowledge of, you know, of God and Jesus. Now, Jesus, like I explained to you, when you talk Bible, it refers to Jesus. We call him Jesus in this day. It's actually referring to the Son of God in you. Because when God sees you, he's seeing Jesus. He's seeing his Son, his only begotten Son in you. When you see the Bible talking of Jesus Christ, he's actually talking of you, inside you, the essence of God inside you. You see, religion has always limited it to the body of Jesus, to Jesus of Nazareth of 2,000 years ago. That's religion. And when you now tell people, you know, the other day I was in a church and I now try to, they couldn't comprehend the fact that we are that, you know, they look at it as a blasphemy or something, you know. Yes, you know, men have been so reduced that they don't even believe themselves anymore. That's why Jesus Christ, oh ye of little faith. He marveled at times. Jesus marveled. He used to marvel at their at the lowness of their faith. They accused him that he made himself equal to God. You know? The same way they accuse us of making ourselves equal to Jesus. You know? But they don't understand the mind of God. They don't understand the things of God. Oh, hallelujah. So actually, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ in us, is the thing that actually causes us to escape corruption. Amen. Yes, causes us to escape the darkness of this world. See, that's why Peter says, whereby are given unto us, this is knowledge, exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. You see it? Oh, hallelujah. So we are now called to diligently increase in the knowledge of Christ within. This is the only thing that God has given to us. Amen. He's not here to talk about any other thing. Because if you have the Son of God, you have what? Everything that God is. Because the Father has given the Son everything. Amen. I think you remember the prodigal son. All he had to do was wake up from among the pigs, from among animals. He was living the animal life. He was living like a pig on the earth, poverty, struggling day and night. You know, pigs, they look at the ground all the time. Amen. So this, you know, so but he woke up from that realm of animalism and remembered that he has a father. That why is he among these low people? And he arose back from the dead and discovered that everything that the Father has is his own. And the Father easily welcomed him back. God does not condemn anybody. God does not, you know, seek to cast anybody out. He wants everybody to have life. He wants anybody to come and be saved. There is enough for everybody. See, here, you know, we struggle for, but in God's kingdom, there's infinite, as everything is enough. We have everything in abundance. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So let us go the way of Gideon to fight against the forces of darkness by increasing in the knowledge of the man hidden in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. This is the mystery. This is the mystery of the ages. God in you, the hope of glory. Amen.
Amen.